Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings conference call of APJ Surendra Park Hotels Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anoop Poojari of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Poojari.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us on APJ Surendra Park Hotels Limited's Q3 and 9M FY24 earnings conference call. We have with us Ms. Priya Paul, Chairman, Mr. Vijay Diwan, Managing Director, and Mr. Atul Khosla, SVP Finance and Chief Financial Officer of the company. We would like to begin the call with opening remarks from the management, followed by an interactive question-and-answer session. Before we start, I would like to point out that some statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a disclaimer to this effect has been included in the earnings presentation shared with you earlier. I would now like to invite Ms. Priya Paul to make her opening remarks.
Thank you, Anoop. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of the entire management team of APJ Surendra Park Hotels Limited, I would like to extend a very warm welcome to all of you to our maiden earnings conference call post our successful listing on February 12, 2024. First and foremost, I would like to thank all our investors for the exceptionally strong response to our IPO with over 62 times oversubscription. The company, with over 55 years of legacy, has started a new chapter in its journey, and we are enthusiastic about the promising road ahead. As committed, we have successfully executed our IPO objective of allocating rupees 550 crores towards the prepayment of loans, enabling us to achieve a net cash position. Our net worth has now increased to rupees 1,200 crores, and this, with our strong balance sheet and cash accruals, enables us to really look at inorganic growth in the years to come. Given that this is our first earnings call, let me give you a brief overview of the company, and following this, our Managing Director, Vijay Diwan, will run you through the key operational and financial highlights of the quarter and 9 months ended December 31, 2023. It has been the best-ever Q3 and the best 9-month results for us. ASPHL is part of the APJ Surendra Group, established in 1910 with a diversified presence in industries such as shipping and logistics, retail and warehousing, and hospitality. Our first hotel opened on Park Street in Kolkata in 1967, and this was the beginning of the journey to today. Over time, we developed a vision of leadership through differentiation, which is what has propelled our growth and helped us to create and innovate distinctive brands across hotels, brands, hospitality, and restaurants and bars across the country. The brands that we have are in the luxury upper mid-scale brand and the upper upscale brand. We have created a niche of luxury boutique hotels, and we're really the pioneers of this. And that's because we used differentiation and innovation to create an exciting portfolio of hotels across the country. So the brands are the Park Collection, Zone by the Park, Zone Connect, and lately we've added an economy budget brand called Stop by Zone. Our presence is over 20 cities with 30 hotels right now and 2,298 rooms. And we operate these hotels through a mixture of models. We own mostly the Park hotels, whereas we have leased properties and asset-light properties across the other brands, giving us a good mix of ownership, management, and leased properties. And that's the way we will continue to grow the brands over the years. A large part of our success is the food and beverage segment, and because we are passionate about creating brands, we've also done that in the food and beverage space across not just tier one cities, but also tier two and tier three cities. And these bars, nightlife, and clubs and spas contribute about 44% of our revenues. And it's enabled us to create a lot of engagement and stickiness with customers because we create spaces that people enjoy spending time in. Another business that we run is the iconic brand Flurries. This is something that started in 1927 on Park Street in Kolkata by a Swiss family. We now have about 75 of them across the country. This is in the bakery, confectionery, cafe segment, which is one of the fastest growing segments in India. We have started an expansion in Mumbai, and you will see the brand in various other geographies as we go forward. Our company has a very strong track record of maintaining the highest occupancies in the industry. In Q3, occupancy has been 90%. This achievement can be attributed to several key factors, including a loyal customer base, the implementation of advanced AI-based revenue management systems, and the dedication of our dynamic sales and marketing team. Most importantly, our emphasis on creating entertainment destinations within our business hotels, even in urban centers, has proven instrumental in sustaining these rates. Over the next 5 years, we aim to double our inventory from 2,298 keys to about 4,405. A significant portion of this growth will be driven by the asset-light model, with an increase of about 1,300 keys in this segment through management contracts and leases. And this will be across all brands, from the park to the zone by the park and other, and in all geographies. We are prioritizing the development and expansion of our existing land banks in Pune, EM Bypass, Kolkata, Jaipur, and leveraging our asset management strategy to efficiently utilize this low cost of land for revenue growth. We also will do our capacity expansions in Visakhapatnam and Navi Mumbai, and plans are all progressing very well in all these projects. I'm confident this will help us to achieve sustainable growth and expansion in the fast-growing hospitality industry. In conclusion, I want to highlight that over the last 6 decades, ASPHL has created outstanding brands, innovative hospitality service, diverse F&B offerings, developed an outstanding team, all these that set us apart in the industry. Today, we are enthusiastic about the opportunities arising from the positive macroeconomic trends and changing market dynamics. Moving forward, I am confident that we will capitalize on our strengths to create sustainable growth for all our stakeholders. With this, I would like to hand over to Mr. Vijay Devan, who will take us through the operational and financial highlights for the Q3 and 9 months FY24. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Paul. A warm welcome to all of you on our first earnings conference call after our successful listing. The consolidated net income for us stood at 164 crores in Q3, showcasing our best ever quarterly performance with a remarkable 15% year-on-year revenue growth. EBITDA during Q3 increased 15% year-on-year at 61 crores, with the best ever EBITDA margin at 37%. The EBITDA margin has significantly increased from 31% in Q1 to now 37% in Q3. Profit after tax for us stood at 27 crores at 17% of the top line, which is a 46% improvement year on year. In terms of the details of the performance, occupancy during the period was at 90%, which is the highest in the country, and the Park brand enjoys a 25% premium across all segments in terms of occupancy in the country. ARR has increased by 14% and it stood at 7,286. RevPAR also increased by 14% and stood at 6,562. Overall room revenue increased by 15%, F&B revenue increased by 14% to record a total revenue of 164 crores and an EBITDA of 61 crores at 37%. In terms of 9-month ending, we have achieved revenues of 436 crores with an EBITDA of 152 crores, which is again a 14% improvement over last year. And the EBITDA margin stood at 35%. At the end of 9 months, we have achieved a PAT of 50 crores, which is a 12% Y-on-Y growth and a 35% improvement over last year. Again, we have maintained our leadership position in occupancy, with occupancies at 92% at the end of nine months. In terms of ARRs, they've grown by 12%, RevPAR has increased by 13%, and food and beverage revenues have increased by 11%. Total revenues have increased by 14% at 436 crores, and an EBITDA of 152 crores, again a 14% improvement over last year. Q3 and Q4 are the best in the hotel industry. Seeing the trend, we expect also a very strong quarter four. Going forward, the demand-supply mismatch in the industry is going to continue, and in particular, in the key growth markets where we are present. We also expect a strong double-digit growth in the coming year as well. Post the IPO, we have completely paid the outstanding debt of 550 crores, and today we are in a net cash positive position in the company. Net worth has increased, as Ms. Paul also mentioned, to approximately 1,200 crores, providing us with opportunities for growth both on the inorganic side as well as improving our hotels on the organic side. In terms of the growth in the number of hotels which we have during this year, we have added 282 keys during the course of the year with the opening of hotels in Gopalpur, Dimapur, Mussoorie, Indore, and Udaipur. And in the coming year, we plan to increase our inventory by 232 keys over FY24 and 25. In terms of Flurries, currently we have 75 outlets, and during the course of this year itself, that is in the month of March itself, we plan to open 8 more outlets. Four of them are going to be in Mumbai and four of them are going to be opening in West Bengal. So the number of units for Flurries at the end of March are now going to rise from 75 units to 83 units by the end of this financial year itself. And in the month of May, as well as April and May, we plan to open another 8 outlets of Flurries. 5 of them are going to further open in Mumbai, 2 in Siliguri, and 1 in Darjeeling. So the Flurries growth plan is also on a very, very strong footing, and we plan to increase the number of outlets of Flurries from about 83 at the end of this financial year. We plan to double these outlets over the next year. We remain committed to sustainable growth, our green transition, and for providing superior corporate governance and value for our customers. Thank you.
But should we open up the floor for question and answer session?
Yes, sure.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sagarika Chetty from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you so much for this opportunity and great set of numbers, specifically in the quarter just after the IPO. So my first question is in terms of the occupancy, you have a very high occupancy compared to your peers. So any specific reason for this higher occupancy compared to the industry average? If you can shed some light on that.
Occupancy percentage has always been exceedingly high at Park Hotels. Of course, the reason is that obviously we have a very high percentage of loyal customers. Percentage of repeat customers at the park is higher than that of competitors, close to 25%. Very significant is that we run an AI-based revenue management system, which makes a key difference. Third is that we run our hotels as entertainment destinations, and that leads to very high occupancy on the weekends, and it accounts for overall occupancy being high at the park hotels. We have also delivered, in terms of occupancy, the highest occupancy even during the 2 years of COVID in the country. In the first year of COVID, we recorded an occupancy of 67%. And in the second year of COVID, at 79%, which was also the highest in the country. So the Park brand, as I explained, enjoys a 25% premium in terms of occupancy, and it will continue to do so. This is our biggest strength in terms of the hospitality business.
Yes, sir. That gives us a lot of insight. My second question is, given your expansion plan which is coming up in the next 3 to 4 years, what growth rate are you expecting in the next few years? And would it be a mix of ARR and occupancy growth, or specifically occupancy dependent growth? If you can shed some light on that.
So the way the industry is at the moment, if you look at all the industry reports, double-digit growth is expected, and it is going to be in the range of 12 to 14%, whether we look at Crystal reports or we look at hotel industry report published by HTL or Hotelivate. The growth rate expected is going to be in the range of 12 to 14%. We have had a very strong quarter three. We are also expecting a strong quarter four, and going forward also, the industry is really poised for strong growth. If you look at the passenger arrivals, they are at Indian airports. They are also at record high. The previous record was somewhere around 14 crores of domestic passenger arrivals. It's already been exceeded last year. It's reached 15 crores. In terms of office space occupancy, that has also significantly grown. Particularly in the last quarter, it has shown an increase of 19%, and all this is actually going to support the growth of the hospitality industry. We have achieved a very strong quarter, and we look forward to very strong quarters going forward.
Understood, sir. And my last question is on if you can provide some figures regarding the CAPEX plans for the next 2 to 3 years.
So in terms of our expansion plans, the way they are, we are looking at, doubling up of our inventory from roughly about 2,300 keys at the moment to somewhere around 4,600 keys. Currently, we have about 15 lakh square feet of development which is embedded in our balance sheet. We have initiated the projects. We have for three of our projects for our expansion of this, for our development of this FSI, for three of our projects, we have already appointed the designers. Many of these projects today are going ahead in terms of permissions. In terms of our large project at EM Bypass, which is in Calcutta, which is a 6 lakh sq ft development, we have signed a joint venture development agreement with the Ambuja Neotia Group, and this project is divided into two halves. 51% is going to be used for the development of the hotel, and 49% is going to be used for the development of apartments, and these apartments are going to be sold. So from the 3 lakh sq ft of apartments which will be sold, from the proceeds, we are going to be developing this hotel. So the hotel essentially would be free of cost. So what is happening in terms of this development that one is the agreement has been signed and it has got registered. The second most important thing is that we have begun the process of the selection of the designers, and we hope to go to the Calcutta Municipal Corporation for the permissions over the next quarter or so, and we hope to break ground during this financial year itself for this project. For our other project, that is at Pune, the design work is already complete. The designers were appointed earlier. We are in the last stage of the permissions, and very soon this project will also have groundbreaking soon enough. And similar is in terms of our development at Visakhapatnam and Navi Mumbai. So out of these 15 lakh sq ft of development which will happen, initiation has already happened in terms of 11 lakh sq ft of development.
Understood. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure the best quality of this call, please refrain from using speaker mode and pick up your handsets while asking a question. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sumit Kumar from JM Financial Institutional Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Devan, Ms. Paul, and the team of Park. Congratulations on a good IPO and subsequently a very good set of numbers. My first question would be on the upcoming hotels, particularly the ones in Dighaa, Patiala, and Chettinad. If you could guide us on what would be the expected commissioning dates for these three hotels. And the second question would be, what is the contribution of Fleury's for the third quarter and 9 months, if you could give us the details?
Okay, so in terms of firstly, Dighaa, this hotel is a 65-room hotel. We are at the last stages in terms of permissions, and we are expecting this hotel to open within this month. So anytime during the course of this month, this hotel is expected to open. Teams are already in position. The general manager has been appointed with his, and all the department heads and the entire team is in place. So this hotel is expected to open anytime soon. Work is going on in terms of both Patiala as well as the Chettinad project. Again, the teams are getting constituted, the general manager for both the properties, they have been appointed, and we expect these hotels to open anytime in the first quarter of the financial year, of the next financial year. In terms of your question, in terms of Fleury's continues to perform very significantly in terms of the results. The Fleury's division at the end of 9 months has been revenue of 35 crores, which is a 27% improvement over the previous year. And it has recorded an EBITDA of 15 crores, which is a 14% again improvement over the previous year. So, the Fleury's division has produced an EBITDA of 6.62 crores, on a total revenue of 35 crores, which is 19% of the top line, a 33% improvement over the previous year. Now, the Flurries, the way it continues to outperform the market. Its growth of 27% is very, very significant. And more significant is that the EBITDA margin of 19%, it is the highest and the best in terms of the peers.
Sure, sir. I'll come back in the queue for any further questions. That's all for my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from VT Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Agarwal, your line is unmuted. You can proceed with your question.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for the opportunity. Hello.
Yes.
Good afternoon. Actually, coming back to your previous question, like we did a rough calculation for margins on Mondelez, and it came to about 30% plus. But our margins in Flurries is about coming to about 11-12%. So just wanted to understand, why is this margin differential coming up to?
So, Flurries margin is at 19%, which is the best in class in the industry. I don't know from where you're picking up the 12% margin. Flurries, as I just mentioned, has produced a stellar performance alongside the hotel performance.
And I think Montini's is not in the bakery cafe, a kind of restaurant segment that we are in. So I don't know the numbers. Maybe that's the difference.
Okay. So are we expecting the margins of 18% to continue?
Yes, we expect these margins to continue. There is no question that these margins will not continue. In fact, they have improved on a quarter-to-quarter basis.
Mm-hmm. And in FY22, we had margins of about 25%, and in Flurries, and 23, it fell down to 17-18%. So, what led to the margin increase in FY22?
So, this is the bulk of the business. Again, firstly, like hospitality business, the business, how it works is that the best quarters are quarter three and quarter four. So already, and in terms of the Flurries business also, the festive season starts somewhere in October, and again the quarter three and quarter four are very strong quarters. So this margin, which is currently close to 19%, is expected to further improve in quarter four. And yes, it may not reach the 25% mark because there have been new openings in Mumbai. A lot of openings are taking place in Mumbai, and the operations there have produced a very strong performance, but they are still to be fully performing in terms of the EBITDA margin. But as they stabilize, this margin will, for the outlets which will stabilize, the margin will be in this range of 22-25%.
Okay, got it. And in your hotel business, what percentage of your rooms are sold to international tourists currently?
Sorry?
What percentage of your rooms are broadly sold to international tourists or international corporate tourists?
So the Park is a very strong Indian brand. This is a very big strength that we are a powerful and strong Indian brand. And we also have very high percentage of domestic market. So yes, the international tourist percentage has improved. Currently it is at 9%. But 91% of our business at the moment is domestic, and domestic market continues to be strong, and we are very strong beneficiaries of this.
Okay, you said 9% international tourist. What was it pre-COVID?
Pre-COVID, this number was 20%.
20%. So, are we seeing any improvement going forward, or are we going to rely on the domestic market completely?
Well, as far as international traffic is concerned, as the latest report published by Department of Tourism, it's 90% back and is expected to be in the range of 100 to 110% in the coming year. This year, India has recorded 9.2 million in the calendar year, it's recorded 9.2 million foreign tourist arrivals, to the best being at 10.6 million. And the government is India is expecting that this number of 10.6 will be achieved and will be exceeded in the next financial year. And we will also see an increase in a number close to the pre-pandemic levels. But our market is a strong domestic market, and the domestic market is strong and will continue to be strong for us as well as for the country.
Okay, great. And what about the retail and corporate mix, if you could highlight on that as well?
So PARC has a very strong mix of both leisure as well as corporate travel. Currently, 42% of our business is coming from corporate, and 42% of the business is also coming from leisure. But within this leisure, we have a new segment, which is the B leisure segment. So actual leisure is 17% and B leisure is 25%, which is a combination of business and leisure. 7% is airline, and the balance is FIT travel. So more and more travelers today, more and more companies are encouraging people to travel both for business and leisure. So we are tracking this segment. So the leisure segment for us has already hit 25%, and it will continue to grow.
Okay. So it's the leisure that you said. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. And lastly, on your expansion, do you have expansion plans for your other restaurants, like someplace else and other like small restaurants in Calcutta that we have in the PARC Hotel? Any expansion plans for that?
So someplace else currently, of course, is in Calcutta. And then we have also opened at the Geo World Drive in Mumbai. And currently we are looking at other opportunities. And as soon as those opportunities are finalized, we would be informing all of you.
Oh, okay, got it. That's it from me. Thank you so much.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one on your touchtone phone. The next question is from the line of Santosh Sinha from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. My question is regarding margins. So what we see is that in Q3 FY24, the margin was somewhere around 37%. And last year also, if you look at Q3, it was 37%. So despite around 13% year-on-year increase in revenue, we have not seen the operational benefit passing through to EBITDA margin as such. So operating leverage benefit has not flown through to EBITDA margin. So what has led to that? And is there any guidance for margin assets by the company?
So improving efficiencies continue to be a key focus area of the management, and it will be part of our strategy going forward as well. 37% is a very strong EBITDA margin. There has been an increase in cost of about 2% in terms of payroll expenses, if you were to see the details of the result. And this 2% increase in payroll takes the payroll expenses from 18% to 20%. And this is largely on account of ESOPs. We have the ESOP cost of about 1.8 crores has led to this increase largely. And secondly, we have the also come out of the COVID period, so there has been an increase in terms of salaries and wages. So overall, as a result of this, the payroll expenses are at 20%, but they still continue to be the best in class. If we were to compare it with the industry peers, they continue to be the best. Despite the fact that there has been, we have provided for ESOP expenses, we are among the few companies in the country who have provided for ESOPs in the space of hospitality. And we are very confident that as a result of ESOPs, our teams are going to be further motivated and further committed, and this will lead to better results. The rest of the increase, there has been an increase of 14% in terms of top line, and that has translated back into the EBITDA of 14%. But I expect this to further improve in the year going forward, or in the quarters going forward.
By 100 to 100 basic points, we expect the margins to keep on improving in terms of quarters going forward.
Okay. My next question is regarding the financial cost. Actually, that was 179 million in this quarter. So I think that the company has now repaid the debt. We'll see that declining it from the next quarter.
Yeah. So we have repaid the debt from next quarter. There won't be any financial cost from the quarter 1 25, and from March month also, we will not have a finance cost. So interest cost will go down to zero.
Thank you. Thanks for taking the question.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pranav Shrimal from PINC Wealth Advisory. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. One, if I could get to know the distribution segment wise, that is, how much does upper upscale bring, how much does the upscale bring, and how much do the economy hotels bring? Hello?
Could you repeat your question? I didn't get it clearly.
Yeah, so we have three divisions of our hotels. One is luxury and upscale, upper midscale and economy. So I wanted to know the revenue contribution.
Okay.
The top line.
Yeah, got it. So at the moment, the mix is like this. So 90% of our business is coming through our own hotels, and all our own hotels are largely operating in the upper upscale segment. 90% of the business is coming through that. And 7% of our business is coming from Fleuris. And roughly about 3% of the business is coming from the managed properties, which are largely in this upper mid-scale segment.
All right, got it. And another question, what would our developmental cost be per key?
Can you repeat the question?
Hello? Yeah, cost per key in the park group.
So, depending upon the market, but by and large, we are looking at our development is going to be in the range of about 1 crore per key in this upper upscale segment. So, we manage our costs, again, better than our competitors. We do not overspend, and we are able to create great products in this range of about 1 crore per key.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, if you wish to ask questions, you may press star and one now. The next question is from the line of Pradyumna Chaudhary from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congrats on your decision. On the revenue side, I was just trying to understand, right now, 90% of our revenue comes from owned or leased hotels, where almost 50% is from room revenue, is my sense, right? And remaining comes from managed hotel, which is very small, 2%, and lease is another 8-9%. So I do understand the growth triggers are there in the managed hotels revenue and the tourists, but these are very small. So the big revenue driver going forward would still have to be, like, if the needle needs to be moved, it needs to come from the owned and leased hotels portfolio. So what really is our strategy on this front going forward? Like, mainly would it be ARR and RevPAR driven, or do we plan on adding more owned and leased properties as well?
So as we said, we are going to be adding 3 leased properties. So those are getting added in the next financial year, starting with 65 rooms of the property in Diga. So a total of 116 rooms are coming in terms of the leased properties, and this will make a significant difference to the growth next year. Plus 232 overall, about another 100 and, another 116 keys or so are getting managed on the managed side of the properties. And plus we are going to take at least 10% of our current property, current inventory, the upgradation and renovations. So that those combined ARR as a result of that, of the new rooms, is going to significantly improve our ARRs further. And the market continues to have this huge demand-supply mismatch. So we expect a very, very strong ARR growth being present in the central business district. Growth is also going to come on the side of the addition of the lease properties, where the entire revenue will be booked to our total revenues. And then, of course, we see a very strong growth on the F&B side of the business, not only in Flurries, but with the opening of new food and beverage outlets, upgraded food and beverage outlets. So we are expecting a very strong quarter four, and also expecting double-digit growth in the next financial year as well.
Understood. That's really helpful. And beyond, like you spoke about, 165 rooms coming on the leased property side in FY25 itself. And beyond FY25, what does our pipeline for room addition look like on the leased or owned property side? Because, see, the needle mover would be there itself, right?
So you one very important thing which Ms. Paul also mentioned, and I also mentioned, that our balance sheet today is firstly very, very strong. So it will provide us that opportunity. It will gives us that strength to look at various opportunities on the lease side as well as on the buy side. So we would be looking at further properties on lease going forward, and also look at other properties in terms of our expansion going forward. Lease will be a very strong focus in the coming year. There is no question about that. And of course, Flurries will continue to grow. We had 75 outlets, now going up to 83. We definitely plan to double these outlets as well, and have a significant amount of revenue also coming through the expansion of Flurries. And yes, leased properties will continue to be a focus area. Additional leased properties, we mean, continue to be a key focus area going forward.
And we are open to taking already built properties as well, is it?
Yes, we the balance sheet is strong, and if it offers a good opportunities come, we are open to it, definitely open to it.
Understood. That was really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Saurabh Jain from HDFC Life Insurance Company Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on a good set of numbers. I have two questions. First is on the what is the ESOP cost for this quarter? I see a increase quarter on quarter. So how should we factor the ESOP cost going ahead?
See, the ESOP cost in YTD 9 is 0.83 crores, out of which 1.23 is for the quarter 3. And the next quarter 4 also will be about 1.25 crores. And forward will be about, from next year, it will be around 4 crores because it's a full year cost.
So next year, the whole year, what will be the cost?
Around 3.75 to 4 crore, because next year the cost of April to August will also be there. This year, because the ESOP was vested from August, so that cost is not there. Around 3.75 crore you factor in.
Okay, okay. And just on the second question is on slide 26. So if we see the numbers of Q3 FY23 and Q3 FY24, it looks like the management fees has dropped year on year. So just want to make a comment, why is that?
So let me open slide 26 once.
The management fee. The management fees is this. Okay. Yeah, in terms of percentage, yeah, year to date the management fees is on a higher side, 9 months, but it's around on the path towards going to year end, but it's time to at present versus in quarter three there is a slight dip in this management fee, but it is in 9 crores versus 6 crores. Same time last year, 9 months to 9 months. And year end, we do expect it to remain as we expect to go on again, quarter four will be a stronger one in management fees.
Any particular reason for the drop in quarter three, if we see from a year on year perspective?
Other accounting things. So it's nothing to do with drop in things. It's almost same thing. There's a slight dip in, it could be that when you work out the incentive fee, at times it's some ownership gets booked in the quarter four. Because the incentive fee comes in the every quarter, so that at times gets booked in the quarter four. So that's what happened.
Okay, and just one more question. So, just what to understand, so slight confusion between slide 26 and slide 10, where you say the 9 month revenue, so 44% SMP, this is excluding the flurries or this is including flurries as well?
Slide 10? It includes flurries?
Yeah, slide 10, you have put in the footnote that this excludes the revenue from flurries. So, this 44% number of total revenue, so flurries is not included in both numerator and denominator for this?
No, no. Flurries is included in both FY23, FY24, both it's included. It includes flurries.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
On slide 10, he's talking about.
The flurries is included as a part of F&B income, your percentage to total revenue.
Okay, so we should ignore the footnote then.
Yeah, that is the DRHP note. It is part of the DRHP thing there. It's part of the DRHP thing, so it's for
but it is not, it is included in this.
Okay, okay. Thank you. That's all for myself.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jaiveer Shikhawat from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks for taking my question, and management, congratulations on your meeting earnings call. My first question is, I'm trying to understand your pricing power here. So if I were to compare your average room rates, let's say pre-COVID and FY19, to where they are currently, I think these have increased by about 20-odd%. And if I were to compare that with the other listed players, these have increased by 40-50%. And your occupancies might have increased by around 2-3%. One, is it a conscious strategy to keep your prices lower versus your competition so that you can continue to attract your loyal customer base? And second, is there any other thought process behind not really taking that cheap price increase, or do you still believe that you can possibly catch up on that in the coming 2 years? Your thoughts there.
So first thing which we need to understand, that the park is operating in the upper upscale segment. And in this segment, it is not the luxury segment, and it is also not the upper mid-scale segment. In this segment, which is in the upper upscale segment, we are occupancy leaders, we are RevPAR leaders, and we are leaders in ARR as well. So as per the industry report, the park continues to lead on all these 28 of the 30 data points. So that will continue to be our strategy. Secondly, we are present in the key growth markets, and within these key growth markets, we are strategically located in the central business district. We strongly feel that in the central business district, in all these key growth markets, there is virtually no supply coming in, or there is very limited supply which is going to come in. And this is going to significantly help going forward our ARRs to go up further and further up. Though supply is coming in a very limited way in the cities, but in the micro markets in the central business district, there is virtually very, very limited supply, a very high ARR growth going forward. So we are market leaders, and we will continue to be in this upper upscale segment market leaders on all three parameters of occupancy, RevPAR as ARR. Also, it's very important that the RevPAR actually is a key, as the is the crucial or the key indicator of a hotel performance. Hotels which have high RevPARs also have very high profitability. Yes, there is improvement required in efficiencies. We are already at 37% EBITDA for quarter three, and we are further looking at it, and we expect a strong quarter four as well.
Sure. I think my follow-up would be in terms of understanding how much of a pricing power you still have. Because I do listen to what you have stated in terms of your RevPAR leadership across the markets. Let's say looking forward, because there is possibly only little room for your occupancies to grow further, given the dynamics of a hotel, running a hotel. I just want to understand, I mean, the ability of yours to really price at a much significant or aggressive way versus your competition. Or do you think it's likely to be in line with the overall industry-led areas?
I expect this to be better than the industry in the quarters going forward, because as I explained, there is virtually no supply coming in the central business district. Secondly, we are upgrading. We have begun the process of upgrading our properties, or renovating of our properties. So with the upgradation and renovations, the blended ARR, which will come. So if I was to renovate 10, which we are going to do, the 10% of the inventory, so the pricing increase is also going to happen in the upgraded and renovated rooms. And there is significant headroom for blended ARR to be much higher than the ARR for the property itself. So if 10% of, say, 20 or 40 rooms are getting renovated in a particular property. So the ARR on those renovated rooms is going to be much higher. And this process of renovating and upgrading our rooms will continue over the next 3 to 4 years, resulting in increase in ARRs further. And the market is strong and will continue. It looks strong. It is, will continue to be strong. We are at the beginning of the start of the upcycle in the hospitality industry. It has sort of just started, and the best for it still to come.
Sure, Mr. Devan, that's very helpful. Lastly, could you call out any of the specific markets that have performed very well across your entire portfolio, and then which ones are lagging?
So if we were to look at key performance, our hotel in Calcutta, the Park Calcutta, continues to outperform the market. It has already, it has achieved for the 9 month ending 100% occupancy. And with that 100% occupancy, it has recorded an ARR for quarter three of 8,612. Our second best performing hotel would be the Park New Delhi, which has recorded an occupancy of 93%, which is also very, very strong. More significantly, the ARR for quarter three for Delhi has been 9,058 rupees, and it continues to, no, sorry, one second, there's an ARR. ARR for Delhi is actually 9,693, and the RevPAR for Delhi is 9,058. And this hotel, Delhi being a very strong market, these ARRs are continuously going further up. And in terms of the occupancy for our hotels, they continue to be strong. As I said, Delhi 93%. Chennai has also did 93%, Kolkata, of course, 100%. Hyderabad is at 88%, Bangalore 87%, and Navi Mumbai at 93%. Now, compared to the market, all hotels are doing exceedingly well. But if you were to look at high performance, Calcutta 100%, lowest would be then Bangalore at 87%, but it is also showing a lot of promise.
Sure. This is very helpful, and wish you all the very best. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Sagarika Chetty from Anand Rathi Shares and Stock Brokers. Please go ahead.
Hello. You have specified that the flurry out QV outlets will increase to 83, and then you're planning to double it. Can you specify a specific timeline for the doubling of outlets across the country?
So currently, Lurie's is present in West Bengal. It has 66 outlets, and it has 8 outlets in Maharashtra between Navi Mumbai and Mumbai. We are looking at, as I mentioned, a lot of Flurry's outlets are about to open now itself. Between 8 outlets are going to open within the month of March itself. 2 are opening at the Mumbai airport, and then there is then there are 2 opening at the Bhubaneswar airport. And the balance 4 are opening in West Bengal. And in the months of April and May, another 8 units are opening. 5 of them are going to open in Mumbai, and then 2 in Siliguri and 1 in Darjeeling. And expansion of Flurry's is a continuous process. We plan to capture over the next year as many airports as possible in terms of our expansion plan. We also plan in the next financial year to further consolidate our position in West Bengal and Maharashtra. And very soon we are ready with our kitchen, with our factory for expansion into Hyderabad. It has sort of just got ready. and very soon you will see Fleury's in Hyderabad as well. We are also looking at expanding in the city of Delhi in the coming financial year. So that in these cities, with these cities and the consolidation in Bengal and Maharashtra, we should be having the doubling of the inventory. But Fleury's on the whole over a five-year period has a pan-India plan to be present in all the metro cities. And at the end of 5 years, we expect the number of Fleury's outlets to grow to about 350 or so.
Understood. That was very helpful, sir. Another question was, you mentioned 10% of the property would be upgraded or renovated. Can you shed more light on the same? Exactly what is the plan or outcome?
Can you just repeat the question?
So you had mentioned right a few minutes ago about 10% of your property would be upgraded. Now, if I'm correct me if I'm wrong. So can you just specify exactly what is the renovation and timeline? Right?
Question. Yeah, okay. The renovation expenditure we have planned out for renovation is about 40 crore per annum, and this and 10% of the rooms will be existing property taking under renovation, and which will lead to about more than double digit increase in the blended ARR of that percentage of the inventory which is taken into renovation. And the renovation plan is already in force. On this place, so they will be taking like just say example in one property we will take in Delhi we will take two rooms, so the two floors and about 28 rooms, 230 rooms, and which will take the era from to about 10,000 to about 11,500 for that part of the inventory which is taken, and the market has strong, so in that way we have a renovation plan.
Okay, so not a, I mean, I understand the point, but I'm just not getting exactly the specifics of the renovation plan. You, I understand you gave me an example, but is there a specific property that is going to go under renovation in the near term period, or is, or a specific plan chalked out regarding this?
Plan has already been chalked out, which, of course, but in terms of how we'll take properties, into one by one properties, and most of the rooms will be taken to renovation and hotel industry generally as we take in the first half of the year, and of, and it'll be as they come back from the project the actions will be taken. So plans are already chalked down. Of course we will by the time of the next quarter we will be sharing with you.
Okay. Okay, understood. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next follow-up question is from the line of Nikhil Agarwal from VT Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity again. Just wanted to ask, like the APJ Surendra House in Calcutta, that is under this listed entity?
The building, APJ House?
Yes.
No, that's not. That's not.
Okay. Okay. And what are the rental costs for Fleury's outlets? Like for FY23 and 9 month FY24, what were the rental costs?
Atul? Yes, Fleury's rental costs are about 10 to 12% of the total rental in FY9. So you want it? Yes. So in terms of F quarter rental cost about 2 crores in FY YTD this year versus 1.5 crore YTD 9 months last year.
Two crores in FY23.
Yes, this is 9 months. I'm saying 9 months versus 9 months.
Okay.
Got it. That's it from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, if you have any questions, you may press star and one now. As there are no questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everybody for your very active participation and questions on our maiden earnings call. I know that we will, if you need any further clarifications, we'd be happy to answer your questions. You can reach out to us or to CDR India, and look forward to further rounds and learning more from you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of APJ Surendra Park Hotels Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.